allowed us to move in the accelerated time period. So thank you.
Thanks,
yep,
Mariah.
No problem.
Wanda, did you withdraw?
Yeah, my question has been answered. Thank
okay.
you.
I love when that happens.
So Dennis, I'll send this report to you and Ellen. And then if I could real quick kind of go doubling back to the finance committee. So our committee consists of myself and Tony Leon. Dennis is ex officio, but myself and Tony Leon as members of that finance committee, the only LSB members, okay, board members of that committee. And so what we're looking to do is ask those who have some bandwidth to join that committee. We meet once a month. We do have interim discussions, and we do stay in contact via email. But we'd like to employ some more actual board members on that committee in order to satisfy our primary mandate, as you all know, which is to produce a budget and vet the budget for the station. All right. So I'm opening that up. And if you'd like to join, let me know. Love to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. And let me second that emotion. It would be great to have a couple more current delegates participating in that critical committee. So, yes, contact Treasurer Harris if you are willing and able. All right. Wayne Bruce, are you around?
One, two.
Okay.
I think I got it solved.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
Would you like to speak to the fundraising initiative?
I would like to speak to the fundraising initiative. We had planned on when we got together to raise money as the LSB. We promised to raise a certain amount of money to help WPFW in their efforts. And it was up to 25,000. And I was focused on getting the first one after a few weeks of job things that I had to do, focused on getting the first one up. And I apologize if my mic goes in and out. I'm having a few issues here. I even got camera now. God is good. Anyway, I'm gonna get back on track. I'm sorry, y'all. So we started the first initiative, that we said we would cover was a double good campaign. I know some people said they wouldn't be involved in the double good campaign, but it is a campaign of selling popcorn. Easy, where you just have to send out the link to your contacts, your friends. There have been several organizations that I've been involved in that have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, on popcorn. I was not a believer at first, but after they did, and after some young people, a group of six, raised about $7,000 to $10,000, I have become a believer in this thing that everybody did over the pandemic, which is sell popcorn through Double Good. That campaign is scheduled to run, and we have not cleared this with Robin. So, hopefully Miyuki, if we have to go back and reschedule it, hopefully Miyuki, can forward this information. Now I'm scheduled to forward this information to Robin. That's scheduled to run, Monday, the 22nd, July 22nd through the 26th. And it is, everybody on the LSB, I'll send out the information where you can set up your pop-up stores and just funnel people to it. It's no real selling. It's just going out, asking people to support WPFW through buying popcorn. We don't have to worry about fulfillment. The fulfillment is already through the company, Double Good. Whatever we, that code sells or your shop sells, it is, we split half with the company, and get to keep the rest. So I'm hearing feedback. So somebody has a mic open other than mine. So, so that's it. We have a, Mr. Chair, we have an event that is scheduled to start July 22nd. I sent that information to you. It's scheduled to at 5 p.m. and it's scheduled to end Friday, July 26th at 5 p.m. If that conflicts with anything WPFW or Robin has scheduled, we can move the date. We can amend the date. So well, I'll leave this anything okay, open and, for questions.
And we'll Miyuki's probably going to speak to that, but it's not an event that anyone is going to, and it's not something that needs to be promoted on the air.
No, so it doesn't.
So I don't see it being a conflict. Miyuki?
Any questions?
Miyuki?
First of all, thank you very much for taking this initiative. I know a lot of people, the Jack and Jills, the Kappas, and others have done very successfully. I've bought too much of the popcorn trying to support different people. It's very good in that, again, as Wayne said, you just sign up, give them information, and there's nothing else you have to do. They deliver it, and you'll get it in a couple of weeks in time. And it's actually very good popcorn. So thank you very much. I think you and I have to speak later, Wayne. I'm not clear what you would be concerned about in terms of doing on-air promoting about selling the popcorn, and that's something I'm not sure if we could do, but we can discuss and get Katie on the phone to make sure that if we can do it, we do it correctly. And then I'm not sure if what else you would need. I don't think, as Dennis said, since it's not a physical event where you need programmers to be or where you need a PSA going, you know, every day saying, buy this popcorn, because I don't think we could do that. But I'll check. No. So I don't think you don't have to worry about any conflict of dates. I think I will talk to Robin and make sure that you all get connected, but I don't think it's conflict at all would be any kind of problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't see this being an on-air promotion at all. I think this is just us.
Passing it out to our friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would suggest I will send out how to set up your store. How to set up a pop-up store. Everybody sets up their own pop-up store. You send it out to your friends. I have some dialogue that I have created. If I can get to that right now.
Let me just say that the basic information was included in the agenda that went out yesterday. But yes, I think it would be good to send out another, an email to everyone's focusing on it, by the beginning of next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I can get that out to you.
And any other questions on that initiative? Let me also say that as I said in an email I sent out a couple of weeks ago, whether or not you choose to participate in the popcorn fundraiser, anyone who is, I know that we are all, at some level or another, contributors to the station. Anyone who wishes to make an additional donation for this special push that we agreed to do. My recommendation is that we should try to get that in before the next, pledge drive, August 11th. One question I have, and I see your hand, Minerva, I'm coming to you, but one question I have is that for individual donations or donations that we solicit, as board members, for the station, if someone goes online, do they have to use the, and I'm not sure who this is for, Miyuki.
She's off. Her internet is off. Sure.
Okay. Okay. Well, if anybody here knows the answer to this, if you have to go to the drop down menu, then, in order to make a donation online, or if you can do other, and if you have to do the drop down menu, should we do, I don't know if the only option I can think of would be the local station board to identify it as an LSB contribution. I don't know if that's appropriate. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Minerva? So the
okay, come out. Okay, come out and answer the question.
Yeah. As long as I would say that's the best thing. I know. I think we went back and forth about whether or not the LSB show has a drop down.
on the site today. It was there today.
No, that's the best place to do it. That way, Otis's system, will pick that up and as a contribution to that show, and we can, you know, probably safely identify it as part of our fundraising efforts.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you, Minerva.
Okay. And, agreeing with what Kamal just stated. And, if it's just a donation, you're just noting it as such. And I think it does also give you back an email or something that verifies that you did provide the support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Chair, with the mm-hmm. double good stuff, you're collecting information, which is always a good thing for further other marketing ideas and marketing plans. So information is really the key now, collecting information to help everyone out to fund.
When popcorn with a purpose. Popcorn, we got them, right?
Yeah. Popcorn with a purpose. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions about that? Minerva, did you have another point that you wanted to make, Minerva?
No, I didn't. I just forgot to take my hand down.
Okay. All right. In that case, we can move to the PNB section. And before we get to the bylaws vote, I would just like to see if anyone, Minerva, or for any of the other directors have any information about the status of the nationwide delegate election. Or as particularly obviously as it pertains to WPFW.
Okay. The only information that we have right now is the fact that we do have 10 candidates. I understand that the word went out at one point that we needed additional, but at that time when the word went out, we already had 9. And had we stayed with that 9 and not gotten an additional person, then we wouldn't have to have an election. We would have our 9 people that we would need. That is being looked into at this point is the schedule on the election page for Pacifica has changed up a bit. So that's a message to the National Election Supervisor to find out. And this is in terms of, there was something there that said in July that we would be able, the candidates would be able to have a forum or provide information. And that's no longer there. So it's reaching out to find out what took place in that area. So we're just asking everyone to share with the community that the election will be coming up and asking people to vote for the candidate of their choice. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone have any
questions?
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, the we have enough candidates to fill the current vacancies, then we don't have to have an election, which would save which would save the expense and the manpower to make that happen.
We have more.
So that's the staff side that you're speaking about, right, Ron?
No, I'm talking about the entire, for both staff and a listener. If we got 11 openings and we got 11 candidates, there is no election.
Okay. We have on the listener side, we have 10 candidates and you have 3 candidates on the staff side.
Correct. So if,
that's more than the opening.
Right.
That's right. Thank you.
So if we've got 10 candidates and 9 openings, then yes. I'm talking about for the listener side. Then yes, there would have to be an election.
Yes.
So right now, that's where we are.
Yeah. Now,
but that's also an important part of, consideration for this motion that's been talked about, but I'm not going to expound on that just yet. But, that's where we are.
Okay.
We had one more candidate, we wouldn't have to have an election.
Okay. Any more election comments or questions? All right. I think I would like to do the motion, vote, get that out of the way first, and then we'll see if there's any other, because I think that's probably the most pressing bit of PNB business. Do you agree?
Which motion is that?
The bylaws.
Okay.
Bylaw amendment.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I sent out, and you all have received, at least one email, with the current bylaw and the changes. And it was also attached to the, agenda that went out, yesterday. Vern, is this a procedural question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, we're not going to have any discussion about the bylaws before.
Yeah, I'm raising it now.
Oh, okay.
I'm raising it. The motion has to be made before we have the discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just introducing it.
Mr. Chair, point of clarification?
Yes.
The motion that's on the table is to take a vote on this tonight, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to offer a substitute motion at the appropriate time.
Okay. Okay. Just let me get finished with the introduction. Okay. So the basic thing is, the current bylaws provide for, filling a vacancy on an LSB by going through and exhausting the list of runners up from the previous election. The proposed bylaw, and this is, we've got the language, but this is the basic difference. The proposed bylaw does not require us to do that. It would allow an LSB to nominate persons, who were not, who did not run in the previous election and were not on the runner-up list. And for those persons to be elected by a majority of the LSB. By secret vote. If a third of the board is vacant, then there would be a public call for nominations, which would be advertised on the air. If there's just a few vacancies, then people could, current LSB members would nominate people, and you would have a period of days, and then to consider the people, and then there would be an election at the next LSB meeting. We will also have been advised, two things. One is that we will go into, an assembly of delegates, for this vote and discussion, which simply means that only the, current LSB delegates, will, debate and vote, which is the way we would do it anyway. But for the record, there we are. And the second thing to keep in mind is that I have been advised that for this vote, in order for it to succeed, it would need, a majority of the members of the LSB, not a majority of those present and not a majority of those voting, but it would need 12 votes to pass, which is a majority of our current 23. Now, is there, having said all of that,
Dennis, I'm sorry, yes. Point of order, please forgive me. I believe it's 13.
No, it's not 13 because we have 23 members.
I hear, okay, all right.
Okay, with that introduction, the chair entertains a motion on the amendment that includes both the current bylaws wording and the proposed bylaws wording. You all have the wording, but I am ready to entertain a motion, to consider the change. If anyone would like to, does it need a motion? Just coming from the PNB?
It should.
Yeah, okay.
I think it should have a motion. And this is Minerva. I'll, make the motion that we go with the proposed changes to the bylaws.
No.
I mean, proposed change to the amendment, excuse me.
I have a point of order.
Yes.
Dennis, you said there were 24 members, but there are two members that aren't here. Pat,
we have a total of 23 members on the board currently.
That are present?
No, we have a total of 23 members on the board, not that are present.
Okay, and so the majority of the 23, I thought I heard you say that it's the vote of the majority that are here.
No, not that are here.
Just the opposite of what I thought. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Thank you. All right. We will begin discussion, 90 seconds each. Vanessa.
Chair.
Yes.
Is this where I submit us another substitute motion, or do I do that now or later?
Well, you're on the stack, so when you get to you, you can do that if you want. Vanessa.
So I am speaking against this proposed amendment. One, we shouldn't even be engaging in this process. This is not the process. The members, by a membership vote, just as we were elected to the LSB, that's the way this should be done by the bylaws. So what this proposal seeks to do is to change the current Democratic little d process for filling midterm vacancies. As LSB delegates, it's our responsibility to follow the bylaws. People talk about the bylaws a lot, but we need to actually follow what it says. The bylaws, which Nancy has put in the chat, the relevant one is Article 17, Section 13V, which states that, and I'll just do an excerpt, the members, emphasis on the members, shall vote on any proposed amendment if said amendment would materially and adversely affect the members' rights as to voting or transfer. The election results consist of those delegates elected to the LSB, as well as the runners-up, even if they receive one vote. That is the expressed will of the voters. Disregarding the ballots cast by members, by disregarding the runners-up list and replacing it with another method, results in adversely affecting the members' rights as to the votes cast by the members. It's just that simple. We shouldn't even be engaged in this process. So I encourage people to vote against it. There were some examples given, some interpretations of, during community comment as to, opinions, regarding whether it would be more democratic. Those sounded like that was time. Okay. I encourage everyone to vote against it. It's not democratic.
Thank you. Tony.
Okay. I also encourage everyone to vote against this. This is taking away the democracy that was put in place in 2000 by members who saw that the previous governance system was not working for the foundation. I also vote against this because even if a runner-up only got one vote, they went through the process of getting 15 nominations to become a candidate. So they put in work to get where they were versus someone who is being appointed, who may not be known by the community. The nominations come from the community. So to appoint someone is not involving the community. Someone said that,
15 seconds.
Okay. Someone said that it could be a professional. You can get a professional HR person from the community that will help the board. Yeah, that's great. Well, you can do that now, and they don't have to be a board member. So I reject that argument. So again, I vote against it. It's undemocratic, And it's just another power move tactic, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron.
Okay, I'm going to submit a substitute motion. And that motion is this, that a vote on this amendment be postponed until the next meeting. There is no reason whatsoever to bum rush this. There are people on this board who are not familiar with these bylaws changes. They just went out, 24 or 48 hours ago. So people haven't had a chance to read them, understand them, and all the other issues surrounding it. Also, it's not necessary because we have until August 24th to pass or reject this amendment. That's my motion.
I second. Well,
Michael, were you seconding?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We are switching gears. Quick debate. Up to 2-4 and 2 against on whether to postpone. Minerva, you're next in line. Would you like to speak to this is the motion that we are now discussing.
Okay. You're talking about the motion to postpone. Yes. Okay. Now let me just say that, this motion is one that we need to vote on, but as was stated, and I was advised as well, that it does not have to take place tonight. We can do this in an August meeting. And so there's not a problem, but I do have a problem when the statement is made that we're just now seeing this information. This motion has been floating around the internet to all LSB board members and anybody that will listen or look at it for several weeks. And another version of it came out earlier today to the board members. So I think that we can vote it tonight or either vote it at the August meeting. So you won't have any opposition from me there, but it is something that we need to consider. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there, I see in line, Verna, Irene, and Vanessa. Do any of you wish to speak, in opposition to postponing?
I would like to speak in favor of postponing.
Would any of the three of you like to speak in opposition to postponing?
I would not.
I would not.
And Vanessa, you would not. All right. Is there anyone, who, at that point, let me ask, is there any opposition to postponing this vote?
And I have a question too, Dennis.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
That's a rookie question, me not knowing process or whatever, but wouldn't this time be the time to put it out there to the membership so that we can get a feel on how they feel about it?
We can, you mean to have a discussion on it?
Yes.
Well,
or make the membership know about this motion and
you say the membership, you're talking about the LSB membership?
No, the membership, because this impacts.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yes, that would give time to let the
Mr. Chair,
public membership know. Yes, Ron.
Mr. Chair, for the benefit of our listeners and board members, they need opportunity to digest this information.
Okay. No. Right. You don't need to advocate anymore. We're still in the process at that point. I'm asking, is there any opposition? Is anyone opposed to postponing this motion? Okay. Hearing none, the vote on the proposed bylaws, change is hereby postponed to our August LSB meeting. Thank you all very much. So now we can, was there any other PNB business that needed to be raised before we go to the programming committee?
Violetta's hand is up, Dennis.
Okay, Violetta.
Yes, I just wanted to know before we vote in August, will there be a clarification on a procedure? Because I'm hearing from some that this is procedurally incorrect for us to vote here, and for some saying that it is. Will we have that clarification by next time?
No, there will not. This has been passed by the PNB and directed to the LSBs for a vote. There are people who believe that that was improper, and that would be part of the argument. If you agree with that, that would be part of the argument to vote against. I think I've got traffic outside my window. That was one of the points that I believe it was Vanessa alluding to, and she was saying that she did not believe that we should be having the vote. There's no more clear. We are directed to have the vote, so we will have the vote. And anyone who believes that it is illegitimate should vote against.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Tony?
The website has something on it notifying the public about the bylaw change. Has anyone heard a PSA as well? And if not, maybe
yeah, I
we
think
need
I have.
To do that.
I think I have.
I've played them.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's PSA. There's a PSA.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Thank you. Okay, if there's nothing left on the PNB front, then let's hear from the Programming Committee.
All right, and let me share with the LSB board, and I thank the members of the committee. We did not meet on the fourth Monday in June, so we will have an upcoming meeting in July, and that will be on July the 4th Monday, which is the 22nd. So we will have information we'll be discussing at that time, which we'll then be able to bring back information to the board. I'm going to give time for Irene or either Bill to talk about the LSB show and what's taking place with it.
Okay.
Chair, are we still on the PNB report?
No, I didn't hear any more, so I moved on.
No, that's why I put my hand up to say something.
Okay.
If I may, I'm sorry, it'll take not that long. I just wanted to add to what was said in that the meeting, the last meeting was postponed, was not held, it was canceled because of the death of a PNB director. And tomorrow's meeting also is not being held because of some sort of technical difficulties. I think that are related to the storm that Texas experienced several weeks ago. So I just wanted to add that.
Hey, yeah, Bradley.
Thank you.
Michael,
please mute. Okay, Irene or Bill.
Okay. So the next LSB show, we are hoping will be a forum for candidates for the election. The only thing is that Bill and I cannot host the show. We just heard from Renee that we're unable to host the show because it gives us an undue advantage. But we do want to make it, because there is no town hall or anything between now and the election, we do want to make this LSB show a platform for the candidates to introduce themselves and tell why they want to be on, why they want to serve on this board or continue to serve on this board. So we are in search of a host that will help us with this. And we're reaching out to various programmers that are not running to help us out with this. And we intend to meet Monday. The next meeting is Monday, Minerva. Shake your head, nod your head. No, yeah. And we will talk about it at that point. But that's what we intend to do for the next show, is provide a platform for the candidates who are running, since there's no town hall. Last election, we had a town hall.
Yeah.
Library.
Hey, excuse me, you mentioned programmers. Would it be appropriate if there were a current LSB member who is not currently a candidate? Would that be someone who could potentially host the show?
That's up to the programming committee to decide.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously
we have
a programmer has more experience, on the air. So it'd be good that somebody with some experience. Okay.
Right. Bill, if you have anything.
Yeah. Bill, and then we got a couple of questions.
No, I have nothing to add. Thank you so much, Irene. Appreciate it.
Okay. I got Michael, Verna, Vanessa, Donna.
Okay, with respect to programming, which is a committee that I do have an interest in. However, since the beginning, I mentioned, since our program director does not participate, there is really no incentive for, or any value that I see for anyone to be on the programming committee, in such a setup. This evening, I heard the programmers, the PD's report, and again, it goes to validate my, complaint about an organization or a radio station that operates on the premise of a democratic process, of jazz and justice, yet we have one person making a decision about the likes and dislikes of an entire audience of well over maybe 8,000 or 9,000 people, with disparate viewpoints, different ages, all over the region. I think it would make a lot of sense if that was vetted by a committee. And of course, have the PD have the final say. But when I hear that, I just remember what happened, 2 months ago, where the PD went to Morocco, which is a country that's aligned with the apartheid genocidal regime in Palestine, and had it covered up with UNICEF or UNESCO.
15 seconds.
And some jazz organization, as if that trumps human rights. And that just comes from unilateral decision making. So I would hope that, I want to use this
time
piece to make my point. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Verna.
I'm going to, speak to the fact that this whole amendment, to the bylaws is just unsettling to me, because I feel like the people that ran, the candidates.
Excuse me, Verna. We're discussing programming committee now, and we're going to have the debate on the bylaws when it's the motion is on the floor next month.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Vanessa.
I just wanted to respond to some of what Michael said. Setting the record straight, the PD has come to program committee meetings. Not everyone, for various reasons. She usually gives a reason why. It's a misrepresentation to say that doesn't happen. It's just factually untrue. In terms of one person, the PD making decisions about programming, that's not how that happens either. because I once had a concern, about a program that went off the air. I liked that program very much. I talked to the PD, I sent her an email and said, hey, I like that program. What's up? I got a very complete explanation as to the process. The PD does not make the decisions alone. The PD consulted with or consults with the GM. So it is not one person alone making decisions. That also is factually incorrect. In terms of this whole Morocco thing that keeps coming up. Am I speaking, Chair?
Yeah, and you're wasting your time. Keep going.
No, I thought I heard Michael interrupting me.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. So this whole Morocco thing it's making it sound like it was some sort of a plot or plan by the PD. It was covered up by UNESCO as though it was some, you know, she made a judgment call. It was, UNESCO did sanction it and Herbie Hancock was part of that. So, you know, I don't know the politics of it, but you know, just enough.
Donna.
Yes, I just wanted to go to the, speak to the issue of the LSB show. And I'm interested in helping to host that or co-host that with somebody. I have experience. I've done it before and it's been a while, but you know, that's all I wanted to say. I'm available. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Wayne Bruce.
I'm here. I apologize. Look, so couple things, for the, program committee show, would love to get involved in it, have a little bit of, on air experience, just a slight bit and a slight bit of mic experience. Second thing I would like to address, is the UNESCO thing. Hey, look, it was International Jazz Day. That is started, and hosted in America by the Herbie Hancock Institute. And it's in association with UNESCO. If they made a bad choice by going to Morocco to celebrate, you know, to have the official thing there, WPFW had nothing to do with it other than broadcast it, which stations across the world was broadcasting it. It had nothing to do going there, deciding what to go. They were broadcasting International Jazz Day on a Jazz and Justice station. So I would, you know, could they have gone somewhere else? Yeah. I suggest you take that up with, and I'm not talking to anybody personally because you're not supposed to do that. I suggest with anybody take that up if they have a problem with that. Take that up with the Herbie Hancock Institute. The program. Is that my time?
15 seconds.
Okay, I'm sorry. Take it up with Herbie Hancock Institute and get on them, man. All right? Have a wonderful day.
Verna Avery Brown.
Right. I forgot what the point I was going to make last time, but here it is. I think that there are very strict restrictions as to how we have candidates on the air. And so Irene's offer or request to have another programmer have the candidates on the air might be outside of those restrictions. I'm not sure, but I think and that's probably why Renee said that they could not do it on the LSB show.
No, so, they said we couldn't host it, Verna. She said we couldn't host it because it would give us an undue advantage because we look like we're in charge. But if we invite all candidates to have equal time on the show, then it's fine.
Okay. All right. Just want to be clear that we're doing it properly.
Yeah. I went back and forth with her to make sure I was clear because I did not want to be disqualified and I didn't want Bill to be disqualified and I wouldn't want anyone else to be disqualified because of that.
Are you guys running this time?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that would be it. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Minerva.
Okay. And, I just want to share with any and everybody on this LSB and even the community listening. The program committee does have a role at this station, and we are making our voices heard, not just here, but in other areas where I and other members of this board work or volunteer time, not work. Well, it is work, but we volunteer time. So, you know, for individuals who feel like it's not worth being on the committee, then, you know, I'm just saying to you, I'm sorry that you feel that way. But when this program committee continues to do and things are beginning to happen in the manner that they should happen, then, you know, we'll look at you and ask, you know, what were you talking about? So this is a good committee, and I appreciate all that take part in it. But know that even if we miss a meeting, haven't done a few things, that things are still happening and will continue to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron Pinchback.
Yeah, I'm going to have to challenge the statement by Irene about her ability and Bill's ability to participate in a candidates forum. It's not just that you're a candidate, but as a candidate, you can participate in the forum, but like you said, you cannot host it.
Isn't that what you said?
That's what I want to be clear about. You
that's
know?
What they, that's exactly what I said, and I got
okay.
That. I got
all
that
right.
Connection supervisor.
All right, then that's I just wanted to get that clarity. Thank you very much.
As active candidates, they could not be host of a show.
They're, right.
Yeah.
End of story. Thank you very much.
Okay. Tony?
One of the critical responsibilities of the board acting through the programming committee is to make sure that programming policies and procedures are working in a fair, collaborative manner. And that includes the procedure for new programs, the procedure for evaluating programs, and a procedure for removing programs. And that's what the program committee has been doing or attempting to do for years. We just want a standard concrete policy for things. It's not personal. It's nothing against the program director. It's nothing against the GM. We just need policy. And to follow up with what Michael said about the UNESCO and with other people commenting about UNESCO, if Herbie Hancock decided to hold a jazz festival in Israel or Ukraine, would that be okay too? Thank you.
I hope that's a rhetorical question. Michael, one minute.
Thank you. And I understand, the sentiments of, a lot of people who spoke, they like jazz. And, this is, we're it's a collaborative process. All I am saying is that if the participation of a committee is there, then if there's something, everybody doesn't know everything, that does not realize, then maybe that committee can say, hey, listen, this is what's happening here. A lot of people are not familiar with the record of Morocco. A lot of people aren't familiar. I'm quite sure Mr. Bruce probably isn't. I'm a tennis player, and I loved Arthur Ashe. He went to South Africa during the throes of apartheid. I was very opposed to that. A lot of people were. Okay? And I don't have to tell you about that. So I just wanted to make that point clear. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right. With that, we will pivot to the next item on the agenda, which is the The Programmer's Bill of Rights and Operations, I think it's called the Operations Guide. Is there someone who was on that that subcommittee who would like to introduce that by way of a motion? You all got that got those documents out. It wasn't that long ago. I think it was by Monday evening.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yep.
May I speak?
Yes, you're on the committee, so that's what I'm asking for.
Okay. I recommend that before we take a vote on, you know, accepting the report, that we, all of us on the committee, would want this body to read it.
Right.
Because, you know, there are some differences and there are some areas that we could not come up with language on because of the new policies, you know, from the FCC. We have asked for some clarity from the compliance officer, but the compliance officer has not given us the response, you know, in time enough for us to include it in our report. So, but there are important sections. So I would just suggest that we allow the board members an opportunity to read the document, and then, we take a vote on it at our next meeting.
Okay, Irene?
Dennis, well, this particular document I'm not in agreement on for a number of reasons. One, the meeting was on July 4th in discussion of this document. Who has a meeting on July 4th? I didn't even see the meeting.
The point is, it's not, at this point, it's not a question of whether or not you agree with the document. It's a question of whether or not we should proceed or postpone.
I'm going to tell you the reason why we shouldn't even be looking at the document.
Okay.
It appears to be the same document from last June that was passed around. I provided input to that document at that point, and the input that I provided at that point was ignored, as I can see from this document. This document was not vetted by the full committee to move forward. There are a few things that are problematic, and one is that it should be an amendment to the original document that we, as the LSB, approved back in 2016. The older document had a viable timeline for the process. It allowed the grievant person to remain on air until the process was complete and the issue was resolved, innocent until proven guilty. And an amendment to the last step is clear and concise. There's some ambiguity to the last step of this grievance process that's added on to this Programmer's Bill of Rights. And therefore, I think that we should instead use the document that we have in place right now and try to do something to amend that document and not this one that I don't know where it came from.
Okay. Chair. Mr. Chair.
No, hold on. I'm going to hear from Tony, then I'm going to hear from Mariah. And then I'm going to entertain a motion so that we know what direction we're going on and what we want to, what kind of action we want to take this evening. Tony first, then Mariah.
I second Ron's motion to postpone because we didn't have the time to review this document.
Well, that wasn't in the form of a formal motion.
Okay. If he would like to make a formal motion, then I would second it.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, so that is a motion. Ron does make the motion.
Okay. I did say that I would hear from Mariah before we proceed. So let me hear what you have to say, Mariah, because I know you're on that committee.
Are we going to discuss the motion?
Yes, we will, but I said that we would hear from Mariah before okay. we get into anything. Yep.
Yeah, I just had a question and then a comment. So I'm wondering, I know we're hoping to get this passed soon. Is there a way usually, and I completely agree with making sure that folks have the opportunity to review and read it. Is there a time before, or are we able to pass something outside of meeting so that it happens sooner than August? That's just my first question.
It would have to be a special meeting. It would have to, if it's going to be passed by the LSB, it has to be an LSB meeting.
Okay. And actually, I'm going to revoke my comment. I'm going to leave it. Thank you.
Okay. So there is a motion to postpone. Now let's, because I've heard a couple of different things. I just want to be precise. Are we going to postpone consideration of the document we received? Are we going to postpone and consider something that will be before us next month, which may or may not be the same document? Tony or Ron, I don't, whichever one of you is the main motioner here. I guess it should be Ron.
I'll comment. Since the motion contains the current work by the committee, that's what is looked at. You know, we want the committee members, I mean, and the board members to look at the current document that was produced so that,
the document that was forwarded from the Tom Cole committee that you all had yesterday.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And that has been seconded. Is there any objection? Hearing none, will take that up in the August meeting.
There was a discussion. Yes, there is an objection.
Okay. So let's, who's up?
My hand is up.
Oh, you. Okay. Go ahead, Tony.
So, I also submitted a draft document.
You did.
On Monday.
You did.
Yes. And my document was more detailed than the one that was presented by the program committee task force. And I also would like the LSB, to consider, you know, reviewing that document, you know, comparing and contrasting that.
All right.
In this time between now and the next LSB meeting. And so in the interim, I'm also proposing that, the LSB recommend to management, that we, use, the document that I submitted since it has more details in it, in the interim, and that, Millie be reinstated so that she can begin to use this procedure, for the due process, until we finalize, you know, next month, which one, to use.
Okay.
Both the documents are reasonable and they can be, you know, they could be combined to come up with a usable document.
Okay. Hold on. So I heard three things there. One is that, we should, agree at least to look at yours side by side, with the other one, and look at both of those. And, when we take this up next month, that's one thing.
Yes.
Second thing I heard you say is that we should, recommend that the station, begin immediately to operate under the terms of the grievance process that you submitted. And a third thing is that the LSB should recommend the reinstatement of Millie Ware. So that's three different things.
You got it.
Okay. If you all can keep all those three different things in your head for a minute, I'm going to go through the stack and see where we are. Vanessa?
So, Tony, I read Tony's version without comparing it to the other thing. I don't know which one I would like more, but I wanted to make a suggestion in terms of the process that Tony proposed in terms of the – Dennis?
Yeah, I said four things. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, in terms of the process that Tony proposes, Tony is using language, something about that a matter will be grieved within a 2-week period of something. That's kind of imprecise and it's confusing. It's potentially confusing. Grievance periods are usually X number of days, and days is defined as calendar or business. It's usually business, within, an action that occurred, some sort of an incident, whatever the allegation is. So I want to encourage you to change your language. It just sort of, maybe it's because I'm just used to dealing with union contracts and, framing a grievance period in those terms, I just find to be confusing. So I'm hoping that's something that Tony is willing to consider.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, if that's the case, you're going to have to make the change and make it clear by the time we finish this, the discussion. So keep that in mind. Mariah.
Thanks. So I have a couple questions. And a point. We worked really hard on this document. We worked really hard and in collaboration. So I'm just wondering, first, Tony, did you ever, like, who did you send your document or your version to? I'm not disregarding your document. I'm just wondering who you sent it to, because I think we would have all been open to considering whatever you sent to and combining it when you're going through the process, which was over more than a month.
I sent it to the entire board on Monday. Check your email. You were copied
on Monday.
She means before that.
Before that, I sent a version that was missing the third step right after the last LSB meeting, when we discussed this matter and everybody said, we don't know what you're talking about. We want to see the document. So everybody got a copy of it.
Is that the 2014 version?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was approved in 2016.
Right. So Tony, what we did was we took the 2014 version and adapted it. So you're just saying use the original version that we adapted.
No, that version was updated Monday and submitted Monday to include step 3.
Okay. Okay. What I understand. Thanks for answering the question. Mm-hmm. I think I'm making the point that we did work really hard in collaboration on this document, and making sure that programmers were present, that their voices were heard. And to Irene's point, we met more than, 4 or 5 times, several different times, including on the 4th, which means that people were that dedicated, that they were willing to spend their holiday working on this document. So before we propose, and I also think that folks had every opportunity, one, to attend the meetings, Irene, also to suggest whatever it was during the meetings. So I just want to put that out there, that we did work really hard. So, I think we're open to combining things, but some of this should have been done during the process that we were working.
Well, I would like to respond with some feedback on the document you all worked on in email. I'll send something in email. And
okay.
We can work through email, revisions in email, hopefully.
Okay.
All right. Here's the thing. If we're going to talking about revisions and emails, then we can't vote now to proceed under rules that are going to be written on email over the next several days or weeks. That's okay. Irene and then Ron.
In regards to my dedication, I serve on several committees and do several things and do several jobs. And working on the 4th is a family day for me. So, no, I'm not committed. Sometimes you have to check out and move on. And 4th of July was a family day for me. Sorry if you don't have that type of commitment, but that's the one I have. Just want to I just want to say, I think it's a great idea that we compare the two documents and combine and see where it's missing and see what's missing from one to the other, because that third step, that last step is very, very important. It's very important because it deals with resolution. And the resolution in the new document is ambiguous. And also, it is really unclear about the makeup of the review committee and the part that the grievance representation plays in the whole situation, because that person isn't really, it doesn't appear in that document that representation doesn't appear to be able to have a say. So we really need to be clear on that. And yes, I work with the union and I've reviewed grievance processes all the time. They're not fast, but they're also not drug on forever. So we need to also establish a timeline in which a grievance should be processed. And I think that the new document, and let's not forget that first document was the one already approved by the LSB.
Yes.
And so Star
15 seconds. Star
brought that point up, that this should be an amendment to that document and not a whole.
Michael, you do not have the floor.
My apologies.
Go ahead, Irene. Got 10 seconds left.
Yeah, I just wanted to put out the reminder that Star said that the first document was what we originally, as an LSB body, voted on and was approved and should be in place right now. And so I think that should be the governing document right now, today.
Okay. All right. Got Ron for 1 minute and Michael for 1 minute, and then we need to sort out and see what we're gonna do.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have no objection to taking Tony's document and comparing it, you know, to our own. Just out of common sense. However, the notion that we should adopt this current language from his document as a basis for reversing management decision regarding a programmer, that's inappropriate. And I also want to remind that it was this body that voted to give this committee the authority to proceed, you know, with this rewrite. So, I'm sure all those points were made about the earlier one and so on and so forth, but we were charged to do this. And so we did it. And, once again, it's also open for further, you know, changes as necessary.
10 seconds.
I have no objection to, you know, taking Tony's document and comparing it to our own. But anything beyond that, I think would be inappropriate. Thanks.
Thank you. Michael Byfield, 1 minute.
The reason why we're discussing this is because there's an urgency to this, which was proposed at the last meeting. And what we have seen is the dismissal, unilateral decisions being made by a rogue program director of maybe the last 6 or 7 people with no grievance in process. In our last meeting, we asked to institute that at that particular meeting because it was already approved 8-9 years ago. This body decided to put it off and have it worked on for the last 2.5 months. We're looking at the new document and saying it does not address the crucial issue, which is the most important issue at hand, and proposing a substitute, which was the original document, until we can work on the document that you all so diligently worked on, which I appreciate. However, the crux of the matter is We cannot continue because this can happen again next week. and that's what happens. So, I want us to at least understand the urgency of why the document that is proposed as a substitute document to be incorporated while we work on the final parts of the document that you guys just work on.
Okay. Thank you. So we need to take some action here. I see there are other hands, but we need to get some things done. So we still have, the original motion to, which needs to be considered to, postpone consideration of the subcommittee, version of the Programmer's Bill of Rights. There was an objection to that. So we still have to, have a roll call vote on whether or not to postpone that. A collateral of that is that, obviously people are free to, and would probably be a good idea to look at, Tony's, process, that he sent out on Monday to compare, to inform your decision on how to vote next month. If the committee, let me just add this, it's still the same thing whether or not we're going to postpone. If the committee chooses to make any changes in that document before the next meeting, the committee is free to do that, but it needs to get out to everybody at least 2 weeks before the next meeting. I'm just saying that arbitrarily. Otherwise we're right back in the same place. Okay, so let's have a roll call vote on, the motion is to postpone consideration of the Programmer's Bill of Rights, of the committee's proposed Programmer's Bill of Rights. Ellen, can you call the roll? A yes is to postpone.
Yes. Just a moment. Okay. Irene? Yes or no?
Are there any objections? I would ask first.
Well, there are. There already was an objection.
Okay.
It was Tony's objection, so you might.
So Irene objected also.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Can you? I think you were about to say what a yes is and what a no is. Can you just give that again real quick?
Yes is to postpone the consideration of the Programmer's Bill of Rights.
Thank you.
Which one?
For approval. The one forwarded by the committee.
Until such date? Do we have an until such date? Or?
Until the next meeting.
I have no objection to postponing.
Karen Briggs?
Yes, postpone it.
Okay, in that case, let me say, let me ask again then, are there any objections? Okay, there are no objections. We will postpone that.
Unanimous, okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, the other motion from Tony was to recommend immediate implementation of the version of the grievance procedure that he sent out to all of us on Monday. And is there a second to that?
I second that. And I think Vanessa made a good suggestion. If she could work with Tony on modifying that, I think.
Well, if we're going to, okay. Yeah, that's right. So is there a, has that been modified before we put it to a vote?
I accept that modification.
What was the modification?
To change weeks to days.
Is there a number of days?
It's a judgment call. That's fine. And make it clear that it's whether it's calendar or business. The norm is business.
Yes. 10 business days.
Okay. Okay. So there is a second. There is a vote. Are there any objections to the immediate recommending the immediate implementation of the, I guess it was the 2014 grievance procedure?
Yes.
Okay. Ellen, please call the roll.
Can I state my objection?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
My objection is a simple one. We don't know. Once again, we haven't had a chance to read the document. It's a document that we just got, 24 hours ago?
48.
So let's respect people's time and memory and give us a chance to read it. You know, this is a very, very dramatic request that's being made. So before we accept that language, we need to read it. We all need to be on the same page. Okay. That's the only reason.
Okay. Let's call the roll. Again, a yes is to implement the 2014 grievance procedure, to recommend that immediately. A no is, to, not.
Okay, Irene. She said yes.
I vote yes.
I said Irene.
Let me pass for now.
Okay. Karen Briggs.
Yes.
Vanessa.
No.
Verna.
No.
Wayne.
No.
Michael.
Yes.
Bill.
Who is that?
Bill.
Yes. Yes.
Violetta.
Abstain.
Wanda.
No.
Sue.
Abstain.
Robert.
I vote yes.
Donna.
No.
Kamau.
No.
What is right here? Andrew never did come in, did he?
No.
Ambrose didn't come in either?
No.
Okay. Tony?
Yes.
Mariah?
I'm sorry. I need what we're voting on one more time.
We are voting on recommending the immediate implementation of the 2014 grievance procedure.
16. Abstain.
Okay.
Patrick, he's not here. And Ron?
No.
Minerva?
Yes.
Adele?
No.
Okay, I'll count and then I'll come back to you. Also, Irene, because you passed.
Irene votes yes.
Okay. All right. The yeses are 1, 2.
Wait a second. The chair of the vote.
We know. No, we got it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeses. 6.
I got 7.
I have 7. Who's how? Who says, what's going on?
Go ahead, Ellen.
You're right.
Okay. The noes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7. 7 noes.
Where did the 7?
And the none. What?
I challenge this vote.
Yes.
Okay, the abstentions. Excuse me. Somebody. What's the problem?
Where did the seventh no come from?
Please let her finish. Let her finish.
Da, da,
go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is 7. And then there were abstentions. The abstentions were 1, 2, 3. 3 abstentions. So there was a tie for the yeses and noes. Dennis, your vote.
I vote no.
No. The noes have it. 8 noes with Dennis.
The cabal strikes again.
That'll be enough.
Hey, can we
Michael, stop? That'll be enough.
That's enough. That's out of order.
Stop.
I'm sorry.
It is getting kind of less. Okay. Kindness.
Okay. The next order of business, and Donna, let me hear what you have to say, and then we still have one more vote to take about the reinstatement. Donna.
Thank you. I had a quick point about the earlier. The earlier document that was approved by the LSB. I think you said 2016 or 2014, that one. I think if we're reviewing, you know, all the language, that it would be proper to look at that language as well. It was always understood. I worked on that one, and it was always understood that there would still need to be some adjustments, some tweaking to that language. And I want to make sure that everything is covered, you know, that we don't lose anything since we're looking at Tony's amendment and other amendments. Yeah. I think that one should be included as well.
And let me just reiterate that for those who were on the subcommittee, if you did not and if you looked and incorporated that to your satisfaction, fine. If there's still some looking that you feel to be done, any changes to be made before we take it up again next month, that would be fine as long as we all get to see it early. So that is not off the table of further tweaks to that. Now there is
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, you just announced that we would be voting on the reinstatement. And well, the reinstatement would be based on whether we accepted Tony's language or not in that grievance procedure, and we just voted that down.
There are three separate things. It's not necessarily. But let me hold on. Let me just go back to Tony, because that can be a standalone motion.
Ron is correct, Mr. Chair. Okay. He's correct, because there's no document to use.
Okay.
For after it's reinstated, if she were reinstated.
Okay, and that's
based on accepting one of the documents.
Okay, thank you. That's the step I was going to take. So thank you both for clarifying that. So that discussion is completed. And we will now move to the Community Outreach Committee.
Good evening, everybody. The Outreach Committee met on Tuesday of the month. This month we meet on the first Tuesday of every month. You've already had an invitation earlier. Present was Arthur Highland, Martha Peterson, Minerva Sanders, Mariah McLean, Sabu Hakeem, Gloria Turner, Marsha Edwards, and myself. Arthur provided an update on the newsletter, and he's him and Vinny work together about getting the activities together for him to put in the newsletter. Arthur's review of the Emma system indicates that the newsletter reaches a substantial portion of the listener's mailing list and has a minimal bounce unsubscribe portion. So it's getting out there and people are opening in the emails. Some suggested topics were talked about, and we'll be working on that. The committee of events we've talked about earlier, the Blues Festival and the 5K run. Robin is aware of those. We did at that meeting talk about the town hall, targeting it for September 28th. So we'll have to coordinate with that. And back to the conversation just briefly on the Blues Festival. We do understand that Eventbrite is a good accounting system, and the committee is not against having accounting of the funds. But the thing is that during the events in the past, all of the funds were accounted for. The concern is that if everything is turned over to Eventbrite, then some of the people who have been going to the Blues Festival for years and used to coming and paying at the door, we might lose that because it's been a substantial amount of money that has been collected at the door and accounted for. So whoever makes a decision on that, we would like for you to at least give a transition period or consider that we might be being counter to what we're trying to do, because people are used to coming out there and paying at the door.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So Martha reported on the 5K run, and she talked to the race director or coordinator, and we're looking at ways to make this event bigger, but there has to be some pivoting because the time is from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We remain positive on expanding it and making it a better activity. Keeping in mind that most of the people that help with like the Tai Chi and the instructors have been doing stuff for free this time, or and we would like to be able to give them a small token. And that raises the question too, and I raised my hand after the finance report was over, but we would like to have a line item in the budget, you know, in the future, thinking that we're going to be better in 2025. So, you know, we'd like to, you know, put that on the radar. Gloria, you heard about her work and the committee's work with the Blues Festival and the request for volunteers. Mariah reported on the youth engagement efforts, and she had preliminary meetings with some of the younger programmers, as well as with a younger member of the CAB, about ways to engage and retain younger listeners, and that's ongoing. And I learned tonight, I think, Minerva told me that the Mahalia Jackson that we're talking about, that may be in April of next year. That's about it. Any other committee members want to add something that I left out? Feel free to.
Before that, let me just jump in for a minute and say that I absolutely agree that maintaining a legacy audience is an imperative, especially for a community outreach event. And I would just suggest that you or someone on the committee have a brief conversation with Kamau and just to sort out. And it may be that Eventbrite in that case would not be appropriate, but just to sort of talk through the pros and cons and the options for setting up how people pay for the event. Just to make sure everything is both efficient and accommodating to the public.
Okay. Thank you.
And the other thing is that I think the I don't know if you saw, there was a communication from Eileen Rosen in the Finance Committee, and maybe Kamal can speak to this, that, yes, definitely the idea is to get both expected expenses and anticipated revenues from planned events like the Blues Festival and the 5K that the others, that are regular events, to get those into the budget. That is definitely something that the Finance Committee wants to do. Kamau, I see your hand up, and then we'll go to Sabu.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You read my mind. I was going to say, Violetta, the Eventbrite thing is really a way in which to gather and accumulate not just the names and information so we can, you know, contact and, you know, further do outreach to the community. It's also a way to kind of do the advanced sales. You really don't want everybody paying at the door. And so if we can kind of avoid those things and allow people the opportunity to pay, to purchase tickets in advance through Eventbrite, I think that would really calm down the pressures and whatever our volunteers have to do at the door. That in no way, shape or form prevents you, in my opinion, from collecting, you know, ticket payments at the door at all. If you still need to do that, if you still have a large batch or swath of the, participants paying at the door, then by all means do that. You know, but my experience is that cash handling gets a little dicey and you want to be very, very careful and confident about who's there, what you're doing, who's writing down what, and, you know, make sure you keep things, secure, lock boxes and things like that. In terms of the budget, yes, absolutely. What we're really asking for on the Finance Committee so that we can properly, you know, put these events into the budget is really just kind of, hey, when you do this event this year, how many people attended? We're going to take that number, multiply it by the ticket price. That's going to be our revenue anticipated in 25 for this same event. Then you're going to talk about all the vending and everything else you had to pay. That'll be our expenses. I heard you want to pay the volunteers that are doing the Tai Chi or whatever else, then absolutely factor all that in. So then that way you'll have an accounting of what that event costs us to put on and then what the net impact will be, plus or minus. Might be a loss. And some things in a business called loss leaders, you know, you do them because they're part of the community and you kind of, it's kind of a, you know, outreach and, you know, making, a solid kind of good investment, in our community, or it may make us the most money, this particular event, right? So we want to make sure we can enhance it. So that's the reason why we're doing that as the Finance Committee. And, definitely if you want to talk more about Eventbrite, you know, we can do that, but I encourage something. If it's not Eventbrite, something that gets you that advance ticket sale so you can really keep a good accounting of what's coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sabu.
Yeah, I was just, Kamal just sort of touched bases on what I was going to say. I was at that meeting and I tried to touch bases with Violetta. In fact, I called her the other day and we've been playing phone tag to inform her that the Finance Committee said that you could, you know, put a budget in starting in 25. Oh, I see you got the gal. Go ahead, man. All right. Yeah, so,
Use it on you. So be careful.
Yeah, I'm cool. So that I just wanted to, you know, confirm that, you know, and let her know. All right.
Thank you. Minerva Sanders.
Yes. The, information that Kamal, shared about Eventbrite is good information, but, I need to share with everyone with this activity going on for the number of years it's been in play. We've also used the Donate Now on WPFW's website, which also captures the individuals. They get an invoice that shows that they provided their funds, along with using Cash App to assist. So I see this activity being one that if anybody wants to do Eventbrite, no one's going to stop them. But the other part is for those who are more seasoned and used to the way that it's been done previously, which would be doing the Donate Now, and that's been during the fund drive, and then the Cash App at the gate. we've not lost any money. We've always been ahead of the game and been able to make sure the station receives, especially on the Blues Fest, quite a bit of funds in terms of the individuals that come through. Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Kamal, are you still up?
Yeah, I don't want to impugn the donate now, but in all honesty, a lot of that donate now gets lost in the sauce, and it takes somebody who's going to be in there dedicated to kind of tracking that money down as to who's bought what. We don't have that position right now. We just don't have that the business manager slash admin position. I mean, maybe Sataria. If you're going to work with her, then sure. If she's going to be willing to kind of sit there and track that donate now button, then by all means. But, you know, I think we should leverage. I know it costs people a little bit more. It's a premium to use it, but you know, I really think we should leverage, those apps, you know, third party apps like Eventbrite in order to really kind of give us an ease, of accounting. You know, so there's no indictment on the donate now. In fact, you know, I send all my family to donate now, but it's because that's all they're doing. They're donating now. They're not looking for a ticket and a document to say, hey, I'm going to enter the event because I sent to donate now. So that's all. Thanks.
Wayne. Wayne Bruce.
Okay. Sorry about that. Hey, I just want to speak on the Eventbrite thing. Eventbrite is one of the most powerful tools you could use right now, not only to gather information and all that, keep your accounting straight, but as a promoter and just got through two events using Eventbrite, it is a generally a younger person's tool. Now you can force people to do it. If they can go to a website, they can definitely go to an Eventbrite website. And if the website, PFW's website has the ticketing information, the link, you can link right there to Eventbrite. So it shouldn't be a problem on an age thing, but just want to say to Kamal, you also have to have the ability for a concert like that to have walk-ups. And walk-ups are a very big part of concerts doors at some point. Especially, you have to convert people's mindset over to using a system. So I would say to the committee and then to Kamal, I would lead with Eventbrite, but you also have just an area where you can do a walk-up thing. Just somebody covering that walk-up thing while you're converting this audience, that audience to Eventbrite totally. My opinion.
Okay. I'm going to go to Adele Stan next and then circle back to Minerva and Irene in that order.
Well, first, I just really want to beg to differ with Wayne Bruce because I am not a young person and I use Eventbrite all the time because I like to go to events.
My bad.
And I do agree that, you know, doing the walk up is very important, especially at this event, but that's really not an issue. And one of the tools that Eventbrite will give you if you can get a list, you know, you can have a checkoff list. I mean, it there's just a lot of advantages to it. And I think it's not going to be a big deal to do both things is what I'm saying. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Minerva.
Okay. And just to share, when this activity takes place, as well as the 5K, the person who pulls together the data for us is Vinny, with the help of Sataria. So there's no one from the LSB that's in the middle of the putting together where the monies are. And we do have a list. Even when the people come up to go into the affair, there's a list that's checked off to identify those who use the donate now. And then we have the Cash App to help out. But again, it's a good program the way they have it. And again, as everyone has said, those who love Eventbrite go there. Those others who are used to doing something different, then this is what they do. So just wanted to share. It's not the board members, but we do have Sataria. Vinny doesn't come out, but he does gather the data for us. Thank you.
Okay, Irene and Wayne.
Here's where I agree. Most of WPFW listeners and those who donate and those who attend these events are older people who really don't trust the internet and whatever it is. And so we just need to always have a plan B on how to collect money and funds. At these meetings, the thing is that Eventbrite is real time and we get real reports, but we're not getting real reports on spending when these meetings happen. Why, if they're so great, even though the event happened Sunday, why aren't we getting even an estimate as to what was raised Sunday if we were using Eventbrite? So, I mean, we have a viable donor system going on at the station. I know it doesn't channel in what event, but we can make that happen. And we need to figure out how to make that happen so that we ensure that all funds that are being raised are going to the right event and in the right account and in the right situation. I know nonprofit. I work for Arthritis Foundation and Diabetes. I know they're bigger, but whatever the case is, we always knew where money was going and where it came from and what it was assigned to. There's a way to do that. And it's not Eventbrite. Definitely not Eventbrite, who's charging the fee.
Time. Okay. I see Wayne again and Kamau again and Bill Curtis. No, he just came back in. Let's do 30 seconds on this, the great Eventbrite, debate.
Did I get Kamau cut me off?
No.
Oh, you're up. I'm sorry. Kamau is the worst. No, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke.
So you get
That's
30 seconds.
That's a joke, man. That's a joke. Look, you can handle walk-ups with Square. I want to say Eventbrite has nothing to do with reporting to us. Eventbrite holds the information. It has the reports. That's not a problem with Eventbrite. That's a problem with whoever's reporting out. That's not a problem with the program. All right, I'm done.
All right, come on.
Same here. I mean, the Eventbrite thing, the money is there. You never want to give an estimate, though. I've learned my lesson. I've been in finance for many, many years. You start estimating the people, they hold you to a number, and you get in a lot of trouble. So let's stay away from the estimates. All right, let's get a final report out, and make sure we account for everything accurately. Thanks.
Okay. Are we done? Good. Thank you. Let's hear, Mr. Gordon, are you around to talk about the mess?
I am.
Okay. It's your turn.
Okay. I brought the bird and Diz with me too, to try and bring some peace to the chat room.
Ornithology. Let's have some ornithology.
Exactly. Some confirmation. How about
confirmation?
That? Because now's the time.
Now's the time, exactly.
I second it.
So, I'm going to be real brief. And I'm also going
to... Jackson and Camarillo.
Yes. Uh-oh. Now you really talking to me. Oh, my God. Yeah, all right. As usual, I'm going to ask any of the other committee members to speak up, you know, if they want to supplement what I'm about to say, or if I get anything wrong, and especially Minerva, who is the chair of the real active subcommittee at this point of the mass committee. We reposted the ads on sites that you need to pay for in order to post advertising, and the executive director, Stephanie, approved that, and the money came from Pacifica, not from us, okay? So let's make that clear up front. I believe the time is still running for all of those services. And these, we just thought we'd get a better distribution, a better spread to bring in some candidates. We've had some inquiries, but as far as I know, and please correct me if I'm wrong, other committee members, we do not have any applicants as of this date. So needless to say, we thought we had to spread the net a little bit further to make sure that we get some qualified people submitting applications. In terms of what the committee is doing internally, the subcommittee, the evaluation subcommittee, is the real active subcommittee. That's the one that Minerva is chairing for us. And the task there is to prepare interview questions using, to a significant degree, the survey reports and also the expertise of those who have been involved in human resources and gone through the interview process. And also, to a certain extent, some of the information we had from the prior go-round back in 2016, 2015, with the hiring process of a general manager back then. And also the other side of the equation is coming up with a scoring matrix for candidates once we begin the interview process. And the full committee will be involved in the interview process once it commences. So that's our status at this point. Minerva, do you want to add anything? Irene, anybody else who's on the committee?
I can add.
Go ahead.
So we did come up with a scoring on our evaluation form. The evaluation form at the end of it, we do have a scoring thing. So that's all good. We are trying to make the scoring document an interactive form so that all of the committee members can, so much technology has happened since the last committee, and nothing was wrong with that last committee's process. It just need to be updated technologically. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fit it that way. We have received one resume, and we intend to share that within the next week. And we should be meeting on the 29th so that we can move forward. I don't have any proof that any of that the vacancy announcement was posted on any of the things that Pacifica said that they would do. And we need that proof, because I'm going to tell you, on the first couple of, the first month and a half after we sent that, the request, I did not see the vacancy announcement posted on the places. And I did say that at the last mass meeting, I did not see the postings. And so what we need to do is really follow up on whether or not we see the vacancy announcements, because everybody needs a job. Everybody trying to do the job. But I can't see why we don't have more applications for this position, given the location, WPFW as a station, and just the whole situation with WPFW. I don't know. I don't understand why we don't have any the number of applicants that we should have, because this is a primary location. Really, it is. And WPFW is a primary station. And I just don't understand. So we just need to make sure. But we are working on
making sure that the free places are, have our vacancy announcement. Okay.
Well, let me comment on that. It's my understanding from Patrick that he did talk to Stephanie directly after we had our last meeting on this topic with respect to the paid advertising. So I haven't seen it. I can't testify to that. But from what Patrick told me, Stephanie said she was going to pay for it and that they would be posted. So I would be surprised if they weren't. I think, Irene, the ones that you're referring to are ones that Stephanie said, sites where it was going to be posted, like the Pacifica site and other, Pacifica member radio stations, websites of that nature. I might be wrong, but that is a problem. If they weren't posted, we should act quickly to correct that, because I agree with you. The lack of candidates is a little bit of a head scratcher at this point, but I just wanted to make sure that what at least I think the case is in terms of postings is clear for the record, at least for tonight.
Okay.
You're asking me to clarify or you ask,
I'm giving my understanding, me and you, I don't think we need to debate it. I'm just giving my understanding of, what the status of the postings is now. If I'm wrong, then I apologize. And
I will look at the additional two that she agreed to do, because I didn't. This has been a busy 2 weeks for me work wise, but I will look for at the last two that she agreed to see if our vacancy announcement is posted there, because all of them say 30 days. All of them say 30 days. So our last meeting was less than 30 days ago.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, I'm on the committee, and I just, this kind of dovetails into the other committee I'm on, finance. I mean, earlier tonight, $176,000 we owe in central services, expectations for the national office to pay for something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I just really points to the fact that we have to focus on fundraising locally, make sure we have a war chest, so when things come up like this, we can quickly and effectively pivot and do what we have to do. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Kamal, can I ask a question? Kamal, so can you see where we have actually paid for postings of our vacancy announcement? If that's what is coming out of our budget.
When you talk to Stephanie and she says that she's paying for it, that's a completely separate entity. That's a national office, and that's going to be, she and Markeisha would handle that. That's not anything that's handled locally. Totally different account.
Well, what was the point of you? Why did you interject right then?
Because All right.
I interjected because we need the money. I mean, what are you talking about?
All right.
Excuse me, Dennis. This is Minerva. Just real quick, I think.
Wait. Verna has her hand up, and then I'll come back to you, Minerva. Go ahead, Verna.
Thank you, Dennis. So, Irene, is there any way to determine where that one applicant, where he saw or she saw the announcement? Are these applications going to be tracked in that manner?
That's a good question.
Yes. Verna, I'm going to share it this week with the committee. I don't know where they have it from. They just sent it to me, our Gmail account.
You don't know, and there's no way to track it, or there is a way to track it. You just don't know at the moment.
All I can track is the fact that they sent me a resume to our Gmail account.
Okay.
Okay. Minerva?
Yes, and this was from Robert asking me if I had anything to share. Basically asking all members of the committee, one of the tasks we had from our last meeting was everyone was going to look at the information that Robert identified and come up with some questions for our upcoming meeting. And right now the date is we're looking at the 29th of July. I think that's a Monday. So more information will be going out to everyone. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me just add to that, Dennis, by saying what Minerva's referring to is the results of the surveys that we did. That's the when she says the information, that's what she's talking about.
Okay.
I had a quick question for Minerva. I had that the evaluation committee was meeting on the 22nd of July. Are you saying that it's now the 29th?
It's the 29th because on the 22nd of July, we had the program committee meeting.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was changed then. Okay, thank you.
Okay, let me ask this then. Is there still, I know we had set up an evaluation committee that you were heading, Minerva, to look at the program director. Is that a separate committee or is that folded in with the MASS?
No, it's not folded in, Dennis, with the MASS. And, I've gotten, I've gotten information from the PMB about the different evaluation forms that they use. So we'll have that. I have the information that they're going to send to me. Let me put it that way. I don't have it in hand, but once I receive it, then I'll be sending it out to the people, out to the people on the committee and we'll schedule a date.
Okay. Fair enough. Is there any unfinished business? We'll have quite a bit next month, but is there any, I don't recall any carried over from a prior meeting. Any new business?
I propose that we have a special session to expedite the program, the grievance process.
You propose, is that a motion?
I can put it in the form of a motion,
do that.
Okay.
Do that.
Okay.
Make a motion.
All right. I propose that we move that we have a special session to address the recent program developed by the program committee.
To do what?
That we address the recent program developed by the program committee.
The recent program developed, I don't understand.
The programmer's Bill of Rights.
Oh, okay. So in other words, the thing that we voted to discuss at the next meeting, you're proposing, we have a special meeting before the scheduled August meeting.
Correct.
For that purpose. Okay, is there a second?
Sorry, what was the motion again?
The motion is to have a special meeting before the scheduled August meeting to take up the Bill of Rights. I'm not hearing a second. Okay, no motion.
I guess it's not that important.
Come on.
Mr. Chair, is there, and I guess the chair of the committee on how we relate to one another, the chat is littered and riddled with nonsense. Who's monitoring that? And how can we regulate this back and forth that continues to happen? Do we have any particular way of doing that? And who is responsible for bringing these things up?
Okay, what I'm going to do, and I'll do this publicly now, I'm going to charge the vice president, Wayne Bruce, with because I can't do this during the meeting,
right.
To monitor the chat and empowered to call out any points of order, any violation of the special rules that occur in the chat, because that is that's also subject to those rules. I did see one thing tonight that was inappropriate. I imagine there are others. So everyone be on notice that the things that are not admissible to be spoken during these meetings are also violations of the meeting rules if they are posted in the chat.
Is this Free Speech Radio?
This is not.
You do radio. Not have the floor. There will be those things. Excuse me?
Jazz freedom of expression? Is that what jazz is? Freedom of expression?
You are out of order.
Yeah, you're out of order. Let me, and I'm about to mute you because you do not, have not been recognized. We have voted on these rules. Those are the rules governing the meetings, and the rules apply to the chat as well. People who are found in violation of rules 6 and 7, will be dismissed from the meeting. That's how we will do that. Irene.
Dennis, I need to speak on that because I had an issue at the last meeting with some name calling from a LSB member.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't rule on it. And mm-hmm. you chose to ignore it.
Yeah.
That was a problem for me because there's that still that bullying and all of that going on. And I asked.
I just told you how we're going to address that going forward. I can't do anything about what happened last month.
And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. But are we going to even recognize, because I asked this question even earlier in the year, are we going to recognize what is going on in the chat as part of the meeting?
That's what I just said.
I did ask that question.
I just answered that, yes.
Okay. Okay. I just needed to know that because
yes.
We got name calling and all kinds of stuff going on.
That's what
and
I'm
it's
told.
It's not acceptable.
No, it is not. Ron Pinchback.
Forgive me. yeah, it is unacceptable. I'm glad we're going to get a handle on that. And, you know, that's necessary. It really is. I just want to also remind, candidates, that the fair campaign provisions kicked in on July 1st, I believe it was. Yes. Which means that, you know, your on air appearances and things like that have to be up to code. And I have some concerns about a candidate participating in community comment because that's access to airwaves. And, you know, that's, you know, and I will be seeking some guidance from the election supervisor on this because that's given a candidate who is an unfair advantage by participating in community comment, you know, every
That's a good point. And, yeah, copy me on that. I would like to some guidance on that because community comment is open. The meetings are public and they're open. And, you know, theoretically any candidate could participate in that same way. So, I would appreciate any guidance, on that. So please, keep me in the loop on that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Vanessa, and then we need to, start winding down.
Okay, I'll just say in terms of the chat that if people are going to complain about name calling in the chat, they should not engage in name calling in the chat.
Okay,
they shouldn't call people liars
and call them girls, etc. That's enough.
Well, you recognize me. Okay. Well, it's a valid point, and you acknowledged that at the last meeting.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Now, in looking at the summing up the action items, because I'm going to get ready to wind this down. There's a couple of things I want to remind folks. The one is to make sure that you study the proposed bylaw change side by side with the original bylaws. If you have any questions, you know, reach out to anyone. There's all kinds of emails floating around, but be prepared to vote knowledgeably about that at the next meeting. That's one. Two is read through the proposed the full volunteer Bill of Rights as developed by what I'm calling the Tom Cole subcommittee that was distributed on Tuesday alongside with the operating guide for the station, both those documents. Read through both of those and study those. And I would say if you have any questions, reach out to some of the people who were on that committee. I know here, I think Ron, Mariah, Irene were among those who were on that committee if you have questions. And also look at the grievance procedure that Tony Leon sent out to everybody on Monday so he can come back and be knowledgeable about that so that we can wrap that up because that's something that is long overdue. Finally, as we said earlier, you'll be getting guidance on the popcorn fundraiser next week. Whether or not you choose to do the popcorn fundraiser, let me urge all of you who are willing and able to move forward on any personal fundraising that you are able to do. If we can get our pledges in again before the next fund drive starts on August 11th, that would be a big help to the station. To have what we've determined is that the best way to have any new contributions coming in credited to the LSB is to use the drop-down menu for the local station board show and the donations tab. So that the LSB piggybacking on the show can get credit. Those are the action. Did I miss anything else that in terms of summary items in action? Irene, is this the point?
You did good, Dennis. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, it's that time. Somebody say the magic.
Motion to adjourn.
I second the motion.
Third it.
Good night.
Deuces.
Deuces. Thank you all. Stay warm. Not stay warm. Stay cool.
Stay cool.
That was Friday.
You're too hot already. Please get cool. Please get cool.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.